Tausch, temporarily Jesse and Bulaga. Hopefully you're not too disappointed in that. Bulaga's pretty great. I don't know about me. I know how you all feel about me. Homer is scheduled to appear coming up in the next segment. What a twist. Bulaga gets to interview Homer. Doesn't usually happen
that's
that
exciting.
Way. Yeah, so Homer will be coming
very
up next.
Exciting.
I do want to ask Homer about the Brewers games because that's been really exciting as a Brewers fan. I'll be actually at the game this afternoon going to Brewers-Cubs and hoping to see a series sweep. Mm. And morale at an all-time high, I think, for the season right now for the Brewers after the big win last night. But let's keep it with the Packers here for a minute because while Jason is at the assistant coach media availability right now, Rich Bisaccia speaking. Coming up next, Adam Stenovich and then Jeff Hafley. Jason will report back on what he learns from that availability coming up here in a little bit in the 10 o'clock hour. Over at ESPN.com, Blue, we have ESPN NFL writer, I call him analytics nerd, Seth Walder. He has proposed 5 win-win trades before the start of the 2025 NFL season. And I read the title of that article. I'm like, all right, whatever. But then I saw 2 of them involve the Green Bay Packers. And I thought, that's interesting. So I decided to do a little reading, and here's what we find. So the first proposed trade that Seth Walder says is a win-win for both teams that makes so much sense before the 2025 season. Packers boost their pass rush. You were just talking about this and what you want to learn from Jeff Hafley. Packers boost the pass rush by acquiring edge rusher Kayvon Thibodeau from the New York Giants in exchange for a 2026 second round pick. A second-rounder to the Giants for Kayvon Thibodeau, who, again, was a first-round pick a couple of years ago, but the Giants have an abundance of pass rushers. The Packers, arguably, do not. The Packers are in win-now mode. The Giants are not. And so if you're concerned about Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness, Enagbare, probably not expecting a ton from Baron Sorrell in year one as a day three pick, go get a proven edge rusher that could help support that cast this season for a second-round pick next year. What do you say, General Manager Brian Bulaga-Kunst?
I'm not sure because this is his third year?
I believe it's his third season, yes. I think he was a draft pick 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, so it's his third season. So then after this season,
He's going into his fourth. Going into his fourth, he's played 3 seasons.
Oh,
yeah, 21 so sacks in 3 seasons.
So 21 sacks in 3 seasons. So they'd have to make a decision this year to pick up an option for the 5th year,
right?
Essentially, and he was a top 5 pick, if I'm not mistaken. So that's they would have to make a decision when giving up a second round pick. They would definitely be picking up that 5th year option, knowing the way Green Bay works, because they got to find the value in that. And I think he played better last year than he has, right? Like, it's like he's slowly starting to figure out his footing in this league.
Yeah.
As a pass rusher.
One of the numbers here, 16% pass rush win rate at edge. It's essentially average for a starter at that position in the league.
Yeah. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure I love that, right? The overall, I'm just not sure because I think Green Bay does such a good job with their second round picks, that like the value is just there, right? Because then you're picking up that option. That's a lot of cash. You're giving up the second round pick. I'm not loving it. I'll just put it that way. I'm not sure I'm all in on that.
So you're not considering that a win-win the way Seth Walder projects it over at ESPN.com. Well, then you're probably not going to like the second one because it is related to the first one. So to help mitigate the cost of acquiring Kayvon Thibodeau from the New York Giants, the second trade proposal from ESPN NFL writer Seth Walder says that the Green Bay Packers send wide receiver Dontavian Wicks to the Arizona Cardinals in exchange for a 4th round pick next year. The Cardinals are looking for a wide receiver. The Packers obviously have a lot of them and probably too many than they'll know what to do with come regular season time. You trade Wicks for essentially a fourth round pick is basically where you took him. Helps mitigate costs if the Packers were to acquire another player like Kayvon Thibodeau. What say you, Brian Bulaga?
No, I don't like that either.
I knew you wouldn't. Once you said no to the first one, I'm like, well, then the second one's not going to make any sense.
Yeah, I don't necessarily like that either. I'd rather keep the player. You have the player under contract for two more years. This year and next year. I would rather keep the player. I mean, that's just my thought on it. I always like one in and one out, but then you get the fourth round pick and then it's what you do with that pick and you package that to maybe move up or do something. Like there's a lot that you can look at what you do with that pick, but that's all later in the future and what happens with that. Right now you have a player that I think can be very useful and I think is a good player. So just keep the player and continue to let him develop and be self-motivated to be the best version of himself in this offense. Like that to me is like what I would do. And I don't think Wicks is going to go anywhere. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong, but I don't see him as someone that is on the block currently.
No, I don't think so either. So, again, these were trade proposals from Seth Walder. Win-win for both sides. And Bulaga says 0-2 on the proposals that involve the Green Bay Packers. You can check it out. Read more over at ESPN.com if you so choose. Seems like Bulaga is generally disinterested in it after dismissing both trades. So, your choice whether you want to go check out more on that or not. 844-770-3776, the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line. Liz is more. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Homer, Stephen the Homer True, host of the Homer Hour, weekdays 5 to 6 on ESPN Wisconsin. He is coming up next in a twist. Usually Homer has Brian on his show a couple of times a week. Now Brian, filling in as the cousin sub of the day for Tausch, is going to have Homer on this show. So we'll talk with Homer coming up next. Jason continues his time at Lambeau Field at Packers assistant coach media availability. He'll report back on what he learned coming up in a little bit. Homer is scheduled to appear next on Wilde and Tausch after we hear from Tausch telling us about the ice-cold Blue Mountains of Coors Light. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. Whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, celebrating a big win after the game, or you just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold activated bottles and cans turn blue when chilled to perfection, which, besides the refreshing taste, is my favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold at only 102 calories, Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Continues Jesse Nelson, Brian Bulaga. Bulaga's in as the cousin sub of the day for Tausch as his summer sabbatical continues. I am helping cover for Jason Wilde for the time being as Jason attends the assistant coach media availability going on at Lambeau Field. Rich Bisaccia wrapping up. Adam Stenovich is up next. Then Jeff Hafley to follow. And then Jason will return and share everything that he learns. And hopefully they all get after him in one way or another. In the meantime, you know what that music means. It is time for us to be joined by Homer, host of the Homer Hour, weekdays 5 to 6 on ESPN Wisconsin. Homer, how you doing?
Good. Nice to be on the Brian Bulaga Hour with Homer. I like that's okay. I can handle that.
It's a twist, right? Normally, Brian's joining your show in the afternoon, so now Brian gets to interview you. So, Brian Bulaga, the floor is yours. What do you want to learn from our friend Homer?
I got so much to learn from Homer. Only two times a week. I can't even absorb all the knowledge. So, like, this extra time for me is just phenomenal. So this is like a gift. This is a gift for me.
I didn't know you would go to house on me like this, but good.
I'm not. I'm being honest. I'm being honest. Like, I love your takes. Because it gives us something to talk about tomorrow.
Your takes are so accurate, but I will take I enjoy your takes. I try to be accurate because I was going to ask you, I don't know, did you ever follow anything all these coaches said? Did you ever even listen to it to give us some observation as to whether or not it's of any value to us? Because I always envision the players going, oh, yeah, that's crap. They don't ever tell them the truth, or they do tell them the truth, or maybe it was just never even high enough to give any attention at all. So you don't even know what the coaches are saying because all you care is what they're saying when they talk to you. What's the truth?
Yeah, I mean, the truth of it is that you normally pay attention to at times. I guess if you're someone that watches all the pressers, I really wasn't. But if there's normally a quotable thing from the head coach, you normally will pay attention to it because there's a chance that he'll probably repeat something similar back to the team at some point, and it's a message that he wants to get across. And whether he does it through, you know, media, or and he's going to repeat it back to you guys. So I normally pay attention to that.
They actually do that? They use the media to tell things that they don't tell you?
No, they'll repeat it back to us, but it's kind of a precursor to get ready for what's coming.
It might be said first to the public or media before you. Wow.
Well, especially on like a day off like this. Like they got a day off today. They're meeting, you know, they get the coordinators today and things like that. And I don't know if LaFleur speaks to
that
or not.
If I was the coach, I don't know if you would, I would never, ever say anything to the media or the public before I say it to the players. But that's maybe just. Doesn't understand reality. Right?
I would think like if he says it to you and then you hear it at the press conference, that's like, oh, he's really serious about that one. I wouldn't think you would.
I don't know. It would be to me as a coach, make it easy for the players because they know they don't have to listen to any of that stuff because they've already heard anything that I say there. I've already told to them, but I'm clearly wrong. So I don't.
Well, like a perfect example would be like today. I'm sure Steno will get asked about the left tackle competition and his take on that. And obviously maybe there's no discussion between, you know, the guys and Steno about how the left tackle competition's going. And, you know, that gets out, right? Like guys will see what Steno is saying about that left tackle competition and how that's going. And guys will see that, right? Like that's just stuff isn't being talked about between players and coaches, but he's being asked about that in the media and he's speaking on it and guys see that. So it's small things like that, that guys do pick up, that they do see. And as we kind of saw, obviously LaFleur probably said it beforehand about, you know, he was talking, you know, in the team meeting. And then Jason said, you know, prior to camp starting, like kind of reiterating a message about, you know, expectations for the team and things like that. He kind of echoed it to the guys in the media. There's times that, you know, you'll speak to the media prior to potentially like on a day off prior to the team, and the message gets across one way or another, and then guys will hear that and they'll understand that like coach is trying to get a point across, like message is sent loud and clear. And I would imagine there'll be a lot of questions today, which I want to ask you about, Homer. A lot of questions today to the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator about what's being talked about now, about the physicality nature of practice. And I don't even like to say physicality of practice because that's football, right? Football is supposed to be physical. That's the nature of it. But it's crossing the line of physicality of football and protecting teammates, right? Like, and I think that's kind of where we're at in Packers training camp right now, because now the GM's speaking on it, right? The head coach has spoken about it. And now we're probably going to hear the coordinators speak on it, because a lot's going to get asked about both coordinators, because they obviously speak to their guys daily, right? Like, they're in these offense defensive meetings daily. What do you see, I guess, from offense defense and training camps? And you've obviously covered these things a lot. Like, there's a line that you just can't cross protecting your own teammates, right? You can't be ripping ribs out of receivers and going low on backs. I mean, there's got to be a line, correct? Or am I just the only one on that based on my experience?
This is amazing. You're asking me, a former player is asking me. Right now, people are thinking, what is wrong with Bulaga? Like, why would he? It would be like Albert Einstein asking Homer. So, what do you think about this? What do you think about this equation? Like, you lived it.
I've made my point. I've already made my point. I want to see if you think I'm crazy.
Well, I would tell people, first of all, listen to Brian Bulaga's point. All right. Second of all, coaches don't change. Coaches are what coaches are. LaFleur likes a certain practice. He likes it done a certain way. What's the guy's name? Hobbs? Nobbs? What's his name?
Nate Hobbs.
Hobbs.
Hey, he's nuts. He's nuts. He's got a serious problem. And my problem is, I don't know how you can do what he did. Part of being a player is understanding, and like, he's like, oh, that's the way I did it or whatever. His behavior is not acceptable, and maybe that's why he was available, and it's possible. You talk about this before. They're never going to tell you the truth. They're going to cover it up if they have to. Now, maybe they don't have to, but this is not about the team. This is about one guy. And also, the whole thing about Rashid forces, there is no competition at left tackle. LaFleur would not have addressed this the way he did unless that's his guy. So this discussion of left tackle is done and over with, and I don't care what they say. Their actions tell you this. But other than that, we're just discussing one crazy player, and how could he do something so stupid? And he can say it's the way you – in this, I defer to you. You played with certain people, and maybe they didn't know him, or you get him in, you'd say, look, we don't want any of that knucklehead stuff that you did, or whatever. I don't know that there's any defense for what he did other than that it was just wrong, and that's not reflective of anything else about the team. And then I would emphasize, he's a new guy. So you then now are required as a former player to comment on every crazy comment of Homer and give them any legitimacy or – Homer, that's probably the worst one you've ever come with. Because if you don't, Brian, it's going to affect your reputation, not mine.
Diminishing significantly.
Yes. I mean, listen, and it's an odd issue because, like, even in my time, I don't remember a DB going low on one of our backs. Listen, bang-bang plays happen in camp. They happen in games. Like, I understand all that, but, like, I just don't ever remember something like that happening. Like, and
why did it never happen, sir? I ask you, why do you think it never happened?
All the players were
smart enough to know you don't do that.
Yeah,
right?
That was certainly one of them, and, like, you look at the guys that, I mean, again, I always go back to the guys that I was fortunate enough to be on teams with when I came in as a rookie and I got to learn from, like, you were in, I mean, like, I'll just start because we're talking about defensive backs, like Nick Collins, Charles Woodson, Tremont Williams, like Al Harris. Like, these are the guys that, like, were practicing, right? Like, they were like the most professional of professional type dudes. Like, they understood, like, physicality, they understood aggression, they understood all those things, but at the same time, like, they weren't going low on Greg Jennings.
Right.
They weren't going to go low on...
If I was general manager, depending on if I knew what happened, I'd cut him the next day. He's done. I don't care what draft choice I give him. That guy's not on my team. It would have, I believe, this is what I would ask you, it would have been appropriate for a general manager to cut him the next day.
Well, that wasn't going to happen after they just paid him X amount of money as a free agent. It wasn't going to happen.
But there's a point at which you go too far, and how can you trust a player who's capable of doing that? But you're right. I mean, I that would have been controversial, but you spoke to how rare it is. And, again, I don't know the particulars, but just for them to say he hit low, you were in the league for how many years?
12, and it just doesn't happen.
And you never saw it. You never saw it, correct?
Yeah, because it would be an all-out fight. It would be an all-out brawl.
Yeah, okay.
Like, that's just what it would be. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and here's the thing, and this goes back to, and you said it, LaFleur likes a certain practice. It's not that people are getting on him about because, you know, he's not a tough coach. Like, because imagine if that was Jacobs that got that he went low on, right? What would be the reaction then from everyone else that loves the Green Bay Packers?
Right.
It would be a different tune, I would imagine, right?
No, a certain percentage would be saying just what I'm saying. He's done. You can't have that guy on the team.
Yeah.
There's a certain thing that you could do that's just too much. Again, it's going to be based on how much you paid or what you gave up for him, stuff like that. But that aside, he's now, we don't know.
Do
you'd have to ask him. We'd have to ask him if he would have said or done it to Jacob. And I don't know how you could say probably not, but I can't know for sure.
exactly. You don't know for sure. Yeah, you don't know for sure. And LaFleur, I think to me, he's just trying to prevent these things from happening later on in camp. Like, so people could say, oh, he's being, you know, he's trying to, you know, be, you know, make this team not as tough. No, that has nothing to do with it. That has absolutely nothing to do with it.
Right.
Being tough is a mentality, right? Like, I think we start to mix signals of showing toughness as like big hits and like all these things. Like those are like, that should be like standard practice in the NFL. Like you know when it's time to go out there and do that. Like, being tough and being that type of football player, that stuff's a mentality, man. Like, you either have that switch in your brain, you go out there and you do that, and that's how you perform, that's how you play. You play with that edge, or you don't. Like, you can't train that. Like, that's not like a thing, hey, guys, today's a toughness practice. We're going to be tough today. Like, that's not a thing you go out there and do. And you can't go out there and camp and say, we're going to be a tough team this year. We're going to train to be tough.
Yeah, and maybe I'm unfair to LaFleur, and I just said he plays smart as much, because the toughness – now, it's harder because the GM doesn't hire the coach. But the nature of the team can also – and I would ask you this as a question – is that more reflective of the general manager and the kind of players they bring in – and where they evaluate things, rather than the coach?
Well, I think Goody, from where he started with the team, obviously the team that he took over, what was that, in 18?
Right.
And what he started to build, I mean, the team he took over in 18, we remember that team, and then obviously in 19 when LaFleur got brought in, and I mean – you could say what you want. I remember that I was on that team. That team in 19. I mean, that was a tough team. I mean, like, that was a group of guys. It was a tough team. It was, I mean, offensively, it was a very talented team. Yeah, I mean, you could say what you want about, you know, did you run the ball enough? Did you do that? I mean, regardless of the fact, like, you look at the guys that we had. It was a tough outfit. Like, and you look at the guys they brought in, you bring in guys like Zadarius, you bring in Amos. Like, those are tough football players. Like, you could say whatever you want. Like, they're tough dudes. Like, they just
Brian, you don't have to explain. When you say it, that is. So if anybody else wants to take another position, they're an idiot, because you played with this team. So, I mean,
So now you're looking at what he's done in free agency lately, and he's bringing in guys like McKinney. I think everyone agrees that's a football player, right? Like, that is a football player.
Great addition.
He brings in
Jacobs. Great addition.
Yes, he brings in a guy like Banks. We're going to see, right? Like that one's going to be the left guard. We're going to see.
Yeah, but what he did in the previous two, I mean, everybody should be confident that he'll be what Goody thought he would be. I mean, I'll be surprised if not.
100%. So, like, you're seeing him, his free agent track record of bringing in guys that he wants to be a certain mentality, I think is pretty good. Like, I really do. I think he's done well of bringing in free agents that he wants to have that certain mindset. So you never know what you're going to get through the draft process, right? Like, I mean, you're drafting guys coming out of college programs now. Like, you can evaluate them and grind over their personality traits and go over this and that and this. And like, it's not until you get them in your locker room and you try to get them in your culture that you're going to find out. And then you get some guys that, you know, rise to the top. Like, you get your Zach Toms and you get your Tucker Crafts, and those are the perfect, like, those are exactly what you want. Like, these are the type of guys that we want. We reward them financially. These are the tough individuals that we thought they were, and perfect, bang. And then sometimes you just guys end up not being the type of guys that you want, but you know what? They're there, and you have to try to get them to buy in as best you can, and until you have to move on. And that's the way things go in the NFL.
I mean, I think we would agree. This is it. All right. He's not going to get a second incredibly unique situation again. I don't care how tough he plays, right?
No, he can't do that again.
If he says anything, if he does anything, and we have you on, and you go, I never saw that. He's done.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you just can't do that. And, like, listen, go put the pads on in a joint practice. Go fly around, bud. Have fun. Go do it. Enjoy yourself. I don't, you know, whatever. Well, do not care. Like,
yes,
you know.
And I don't know what he could do that you would say, I'd never see that again either. I hope we don't have to ask you that question. But
I hope not either. And, like, listen,
he may have brought him in. They needed a cornerback. He may have wanted a toughness. He may have wanted whatever. He didn't want that.
No, so that's not what you're looking for. And, like, the thing is, I do like that Hobbs flies around like that. And the guy, and listen, sometimes you need guys that have, you know, they play with a certain type of
All right, who was that person? Who was Wayne Simmonds? Was the person I know when they won the championship before? Who would you say was that person on your Super Bowl team defensively? Maybe it was an offensive person too. I mean, we always usually think defense.
Oh, that was that
Collins
that kind of played with that. Like, Collins was like that. Nick played like that all the time. Like, Nick in practice didn't do that, but when Nick stepped on between those lines, man, Nick was
right.
Fearless.
Well, that's all anybody cares Nick about. Was, you guys care about. I don't care about practice. Yes, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, when you were playing, this was the guy you know that would. I don't know, just where you'd say that. I mean, who was the toughest or the meanest, or would challenge it? They're just, Collins may have been it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because as great as Woodson was, I've never heard that said about him. Not in a negative way, but just because that's not what people bring up first when they talk about Woodson.
Yeah, Wood was just so smart. He knew where to be all the time. He was never out of position. He was physical, right? I mean, the guy caused so many fumbles and everything like
right.
that.
But this is all about what you mentioned first about someone. Like, I wonder what they mentioned first about you. I'll have to ask them. What's the first thing about blog? Here's what I would say. He never made a mistake. Like, of all the people just don't realize how intense he was about just having all the information and knowing and being able to know exactly what was going to happen and to address that. Like, his football smartness on the field is the first thing they would say about Brian Bulaga. But I could be wrong because I'm not them. But I don't know who I'll have to ask.
Yeah, who should we ask, Blue?
Now, that's not fair.
I have no idea.
Well, it's fair with him because he doesn't care enough to cheat. So, like, no, ask anybody. That's what he'd say, but he didn't want to be mean.
I mean, that's part of trying to do your job properly is to make sure that you're trying to.
Oh, I know who I'm asking. You know who we're asking? We're asking Clay Matthews. Because Clay Matthews has the experience of going against him when Bulaga was a rookie. So he has.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
get
yeah.
that on Wilson's
show.
Yeah.
When
they have Bulaga on. I don't have enough time with 46 minutes.
Well, I will say this has been a fun glimpse into what the Homer Hour with Brian Bulaga sounds like for those of us who don't catch it on a regular basis. This has been fun. A nice little teaser for what you guys
nicely
do
done.
Twice a week here throughout the week.
Happy to fill in for Jason. Take it from here.
Homer,
always a treat.
Wait, Homer, before you go. Anything you want to say about the Milwaukee Brewers going for a sweep of the Cubs this afternoon?
The game to remember is the first game. They're down 3-0, and they outscore the Cubs 8-1 and just whoop them. That, I mean, I'll defer to Brian on this, where you're playing a good team, the Cubs are very good, and the ability when you just have a horrible start, sometimes when you have a horrible start, you just can't win. It's too hard against that team. To come back the way they did, it's like John Anderson said something like, hey, you get a group of hungry bees, they can take down a bear. And I thought, that's this Brewers team. I didn't think I said it perfectly, but like they have a confidence that is greater than maybe what it should be for the talent. But as a group, they're just never worried. Is that the right way to put it, Brian? I don't know. You know, to come back on the road, or not on the road, but against the team, you just think, well, maybe it's not our day. No, we just don't think that way. We're coming at them again, and let's see if this group of angry bees can whoop the bear. What do you think?
Yeah, they have a confidence about them right now that's incredible. Like, and you know what's funny, Homer? I remember when this season first started, you and I were on air, and they were giving up runs for fun, and they were getting blown out. Remember? I remember you said, like,
horrible,
this could be the worst
game, the
start of
games.
A team.
Yep. Yes.
And now here we are. And like this team.
Right, which needs to be known. And I'm glad you brought it up because that people need to realize how amazing that is. It doesn't happen. Like if they go on to achieve something, they'll all go back and say, I guarantee you, the first team to ever do that, given what happened the first four games or something like that, even with 162.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for that. That's another. We'll add that to the list.
There it is.
See, you know, this is the hard part. Bulaga can't respond because he was never a bunch of hungry bees against the bear.
Yeah.
They were the bear.
Well,
that's true. It's very true.
Maybe it was the Giants. The Giants were too good that year. That's not fair to them.
Yeah.
They would be offended by being a bunch of hungry bees. But
but
yes, that sadly was when the bear went down. All right. Yep. We can't leave on that note. So, we have to have the Brewers are it. So would it be nice if they swept? Yes, because Brian would I can add to this. I'm sure there are a lot of games, but when you give yourself a 3-game lead, then you have a little cushion. Cushions are nice because now you're not as likely to be in that situation. Well, I know it's early, but they have to win this one. There's nothing better than having the cushion, and that's what they would have if they can sweep because they got what. 5 more in Chicago?
Yeah, 5 in Chicago starting August 18th. 5 games in 4 days. Those are the last remaining games against the Cubs after today.
You don't want to have to go in there in Chicago and say, well, we have to win 4. They're going to likely be in a position of things they would like to happen, but it isn't mandatory. So take it away, Brian. Is any of that good? Was any of that good? Was any of that true? I need a
approval. No, that's perfect. You want to have as biggest cushion against the guys in your division or conference, whatever they call it now in baseball. I don't know what they call it. I'll put it this way, anything to beat the Cubs, I am all for. So anything that is anti-Cub, I am all for. So beat them 10-0 today. Really, you know, stomp out all their hopes and dreams. Anything against the Cubs, I'm all for.
That we can leave on.
Yeah. The Brian Bulaga Hour with Homer. All right, bye.
Bye, Homer. Thanks for joining. Homer, weekdays 5 to 6 on ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Beaver Dam. You can also stream it on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Brian Bulaga joins Homer twice a week as part of the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin. Jason's wrapping up at assistant coach media availability in Green Bay. We'll stall one more segment until he comes back, and then the rest of the show will be him elaborating on what Rich Bisaccia and Jeff Hafley and Adam Stenovich all had to say. So we are going to play Wilde and Tausch Trivia coming up next on a Wisconsin Geography Wednesday. 844-770-3776 is the phone number to get in for Wilde and Tausch Trivia. 844-770-3776. The Milwaukee Brewers have won 15 of their last 18 games. Caller 15 at 844-770-3776. Wisconsin Geography Wednesday. Today's trivia category. We will play your chance to win a Vortex swag bag. And then Jason Wilde returns from assistant coach media availability. That is all coming up next on Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. Because I'm a hazard to myself. Don't let me get me
new. I'm my own worst enemy. It's bad when you ignore yourself. So irritating. Oh, don't want to be my friend no more. The Jesse and Bulaga Hour coming to a close here pretty soon on Wilde and Tausch. Jason Wilde wrapping up with Jeff Hafley, Packers defensive coordinator. The final of the three assistant coaches meeting with the media this morning up in Green Bay. Jason will give a full report coming back here in just a couple of minutes after we play Wilde and Tausch Trivia, which is presented by Vortex Golf.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
And Brian, on a Wisconsin Geography Wednesday, which Tausch is always thrilled about. I know you enjoy it as well. Jason is jealous, I'm sure, when he finds out that we have a first-time contestant. Zach in Sheboygan, welcome to Wilde and Tausch Trivia, presented by Vortex Golf. Sorry we don't have Jason or Tausch to play for your first time, but I hope you're going to have fun nonetheless.
Oh, absolutely. You guys are just as good, if not better.
No. Thank you.
And I know that's not true about me. Bulaga, you could make an argument. I know that no one believes that about me stepping in here for the time being as the substitute teacher while Jason's away. But regardless, Zach, better that than being mean to me like they are in the YouTube comments. I'll say that. Let's play Wisconsin Geography Wednesday on Wilde and Tausch Trivia presented by Vortex Golf. I have question number one for you, Zach. People from around the world flew into Wisconsin for the annual EAA Air Venture Festival last week in Oshkosh. If fans flying in from around the world couldn't land at Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh, which of these cities' airports would be the next best option located closest to Oshkosh? Your options are Fond du Lac, Baraboo, or Des Plaines.
I'm going to go Fond du Lac. Final answer.
And he's on the board. Question number one. It is correct. Des Plaines, I thought that was pretty good. I do say so myself.
It was good. It was good.
Appreciated the chuckle. Yeah. Brian Bulaga, you have question number two for Zach in Sheboygan.
All right. Latitudinally, which of these Wisconsin counties is located farthest south? Is it Clark County, Jackson County, or Iowa County?
Oh, I mean, just because they're blue, I'm going to go Iowa County.
Wow.
I wasn't going to have Brian Bulaga ask a question with Iowa in it and not be the correct answer. Well, way to see through it. Way to see through it, Zach. Did you catch the theme, though? We had Clark County, like Caitlin Clark, Jackson County, like my guy Josh Jackson from Iowa, And then Iowa County itself. How about that? Yeah. Well, beyond the game. Thought that was pretty, that was pretty clever.
You're dialed.
And pat myself on the back. Chance for a perfect day in your debut. Zach, here is question number three. Danny Jansen, a backup catcher the Brewers acquired in a trade earlier this week, was born and raised in Wisconsin and played high school baseball at which of these schools in the Fox Valley? Did he play his high school baseball at Kimberly, Appleton West, or Nina?
Appleton West. Final answer. Yes.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Yep.
And in this case, Zach, you were both. Lucky on the last one, good on the others.
I'll take it. That's awesome. Thank you, guys.
There you go, Zach. 3 for 3 of all four entries and a chance to win the Vortex swag bag, which we will draw for. Either Jim, Matt, and Molly will do so on Friday, or we will take care of that drawing when we're all back together next Monday. Regardless, congratulations, Zach. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for a great performance as a first-time contestant in Wildy and Tausch Trivia.
Thank you, guys. Love you guys. Love you guys a lot.
Talk to you. Love you guys.
And he got the love you guys at the end. You know that's a real one when he's able to get that in.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to our friend Farvey. Thanks to Zach in Sheboygan. Thanks to Vortex Golf. That's Wildy and Tausch Trivia. Jason Wildy wrapping up at the assistant coach media availability. I think they're all done. So we will hear from Jason, his takeaways from Adam Stenovich, Jeff Hafley, Rich Bisaccia, meeting with the media, and on Brian Bulaga's reactions to that commentary. Did all of his questions get answered? All the burning questions that Brian Bulaga wanted answers to today. We'll find out coming up next. Jason returns to the show. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
I'm told there's still another segment left in the 10 o'clock hour. I will have to go back on YouTube or the ESPN Wisconsin app or Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, etc. to find out what the hell was going on out there while I was down at the press conference availability with the three coordinators. Some interesting stuff that came out of it, actually from all three of them. I want to start with one quickie and then we'll more during the 11 o'clock hour. But since we've got one of the best offensive linemen in Packers history here, where else am I going to start but the offensive line? Now, I say that about Brian Bulaga, but Brian Bulaga will tell you that Brian Bulaga, the guard, sucked. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very bad.
Now, if you had, let's just say, for the sake of argument, that Tausch is invincible. He's like Bruce Willis in that Unbreakable movie. And he plays like 17 years in the league. And Cliffy, the big Lamborghini, continues to manage, because he didn't, right, in 2011. But he continues to manage to play on Sundays with limited practice. And you're in Jordan Morgan's spot. Neither of the tackles are seeding an opportunity to you. If you'd have worked at it, could you have been a good guard, you think?
I might have been okay at it. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, if I would have got to work and work and work at it, I might have been an average guard. Because I got to play next to two really, really good ones, and I know what really, really good looks like. And I just didn't have that skill set. Right, like what they did so good and what made them really good, like I didn't have that same like skill set, and like I could have worked on it, but like the way I moved and what I did well didn't translate to like that position, right? Like it just wasn't the same. it didn't work the same as what I did really well on the outside. And like, as much as you try to fit that, you know, what's the old saying, like the round, you know,
square peg in a round hole.
It just, yeah, it wouldn't have worked. And I mean, would I have been serviceable after working at it for like a couple of years? Yeah, I probably would have been serviceable. But I probably would not have been as successful as I would have been, you know, playing tackle. And like, that's just the way I would have seen it. I would have done everything I could to make it work, but it wouldn't have probably turned out the way it did for me, you know, playing tackle.
So I want to get into this on the other side with what Bisaccia said and with what Jeff Hafley talked about, because there was some really interesting stuff to that. But look, basically with Aaron Banks dealing with his back issue, so he's been kind of in and out of the lineup at left guard, and Elton with his non-football injury list time. Now, he did – Elton was the starting center with the ones yesterday, in pads, in 11-on-11, after coming off the NFI list 24 hours earlier. So he was hit the ground running. But with while both of those guys were kind of on the sideline, you know, it meant that Jordan Morgan was playing guard more than he was playing tackle. Well, Steno did say that now, you know, the competition is on, basically. And he is going to compete now, not just at left tackle, but at right guard. He was also asked about, you know, Sean Ryan, and if he's kind of, I don't want to say sealed up that job, because that's not how the question was asked, but he made it very clear that Sean Ryan is still competing, which is on brand, because they have been trying to give away Sean Ryan's job since he got here. So Sean Ryan and Sheed versus Jordan Morgan. What I want from you before we go to the 11 o'clock hour, if you have to predict where Jordan Morgan will be on September 7th, will he be the left tackle, the right guard, or the sixth man? I'm going sixth man.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I think it'll be the sixth man. Like, unless it's some unforeseeable, like he goes the left tackle now, and like, but I think Sheed, again, is probably having the camp that we expected him to have, most likely, right? Like, I think that's probably what's happening. Jordan Morgan, again, I don't know how he's performing in camp, because he's been moved around a bunch, right? Like, I think that's been the consensus, that he's been position hopping, which is unfortunate for him, right? Like, he's supposed to be going into a competition battle of left tackle, and he's been playing both guard spots and left tackle, but now he's going to get to focus a little bit more there, and I guess at right guard too, which doesn't help his cause. But I don't see Sheed getting ousted there, and I don't think Sean Ryan's going to give much ground, man. I don't see it happening. I think those two guys, as we've said over the last few years, have been battle-tested in this position battle thing, right? Like, they've been going through this now for the last few years, and this is very, they're comfortable in the uncomfortable situation of this camp battle, right? Like, they've been doing this, and they understand mentally what they need to do, right? Like, they get it. They understand every little thing is being looked at, every little thing is being graded, and they know the expectation of it. And when you're the person trying to take away that job, you have to be like extraordinary. Like, you have to like prove that I can be like this person, but even better. And I can be more reliable. And you have to prove a lot more. And I'm not sure the reps are there, and like the time is there to show that, right? Like, it's just, it's hard to do in camp the way camp is set up these days to do that. Now that you're trying to do it in two different spots,
right?
Like, it's just like it's not there. The time isn't there. The reps aren't there, and it's tough to do.
Well, we will see how it plays out. But yes, I am. I thought it was really interesting that Steno flat out said that he's competing at both spots now, because during the offseason, it was very clearly it's him versus Sheed, and that has now shifted already, and we're a week into camp. All right, we need to get to the 11 o'clock hour. I want to get to something that Bisaccia said, and then I want to get into a couple of things that Jeff Hafley said. I thought it was really, really interesting what we talked about in terms of year two and about their goal of leading the NFL in takeaways and needing to get more forced fumbles. We'll get into all that during the 11 o'clock hour, and that will start in 2 minutes. So stick around with Brian Bulaga as our cousin sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Tausch, temporarily, Jesse and Bulaga. Hopefully you're not too disappointed in that. Bulaga's pretty great. I don't know about me. I know how you all feel about me. Homer is scheduled to appear coming up in the next segment. What a twist. Bulaga gets to interview Homer. Doesn't usually happen
that way.
That's exciting. Yeah, so Homer will be coming up next. I do want to ask Homer about the Brewers games because that's been really exciting as a Brewers fan. I'll be actually at the game this afternoon going to Brewers-Cubs and hoping to see a series sweep. And morale at an all-time high, I think, for the season right now for the Brewers after the big win last night. But let's keep it with the Packers here for a minute, because while Jason is at the assistant coach media availability right now, Rich Bisaccia speaking. Coming up next, Adam Stenovich and then Jeff Hafley. Jason will report back on what he learns from that availability coming up here in a little bit in the 10 o'clock hour. Over at ESPN.com, Blue, we have ESPN NFL writer, I call him analytics nerd, Seth Walder. He has proposed 5 win-win trades before the start of the 2025 NFL season. And I read the title of that article, I'm like, all right, whatever. But then I saw 2 of them involve the Green Bay Packers, and I thought, that's interesting. So I decided to do a little reading, and here's what we find. So the first proposed trade that Seth Walder says is a win-win for both teams that makes so much sense before the 2025 season. Packers boost their pass rush. You were just talking about this and what you want to learn from Jeff Hafley. Packers boost the pass rush by acquiring edge rusher Kayvon Thibodeau from the New York Giants in exchange for a 2026 second-round pick. A second-rounder to the Giants for Kayvon Thibodeau, who, again, was a first-round pick a couple of years ago, but the Giants have an abundance of pass rushers. The Packers, arguably, do not. The Packers are in win-now mode. The Giants are not. And so if you're concerned about Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness, Enagbare, probably not expecting a ton from Baron Sorrell in year one as a day three pick, go get a proven edge rusher that could help support that cast this season for a second round pick next year. What do you say, General Manager Brian Bulaga-Kunst?
I'm not sure, because what this is his what, third year?
I believe it's his third season. Yes, I think he was a draft pick 2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's his third season. So then after this season.
I'm sorry, he's going into his fourth. Going into his fourth. He's played 3 seasons.
Oh.
Yeah. 21 sacks in 3 seasons.
So 21 sacks in 3 seasons. So they'd have to make a decision this year to pick up an option for the 5th year,
right,
essentially. And he was a top 5 pick, if I'm not mistaken. So that's they would have to make a decision, and giving up a second round pick, they would definitely be picking up that 5th year option, knowing the way Green Bay works, because they got to find the value in that. And I think he played better last year than he has, right? Like, it's like he's slowly starting to figure out his footing in this league.
Yeah.
As a pass rusher.
One of the numbers here, 16% pass rush win rate at edge. It's essentially average for a starter at that position in the league.
Yeah. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure I love that. Right? The overall, I'm just not sure because I think Green Bay does such a good job with their second round picks. That like the value is just there, right? Because then you're picking up that option. That's a lot of cash. You're giving up the second round pick. I'm not loving it. I'll just put it that way. I'm not sure I'm all in on that.
So you're not considering that a win-win the way Seth Walder projects it over at ESPN.com. Well, then you're probably not going to like the second one because it is related to the first one. So to help mitigate the cost of acquiring Kayvon Thibodeau from the New York Giants, the second trade proposal from ESPN NFL writer Seth Walder says that the Green Bay Packers send wide receiver Dontavian Wicks to the Arizona Cardinals in exchange for a fourth-round pick next year. The Cardinals are looking for a wide receiver. The Packers obviously have a lot of them and probably too many than they'll know what to do with come regular season time. You trade Wicks for essentially a fourth-round pick is basically where you took him. Helps mitigate costs if the Packers were to acquire another player like Kayvon Thibodeau. What say you, Brian Bulaga?
No. I don't like that either.
I knew you wouldn't. Once you said no to the first one, I'm like, well, then the second one's not going to make any sense.
Yeah, I don't necessarily like that either. I'd rather keep the player. You have the player under contract for two more years. Well, this year and next year. I would rather keep the player. I mean, that's just my thought on it. I always like one in and one out, but then you get the fourth round pick and then it's what you do with that pick and you package that to maybe move up or do something like there's a lot that you can look at what you do with that pick, but that's all later in the future and what happens with that. Right now you have a player that I think can be very useful and I think is a good player. So just keep the player and continue to let him develop and be self-motivated to be the best version of himself in this offense. Like that to me is like what I would do. And I don't think Wicks is going to go anywhere. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong, but I don't see him as someone that is on the block currently.
No, I don't think so either. So, again, these were trade proposals from Seth Walder. Win-win for both sides. And Bulaga says 0-2 on the proposals that involve the Green Bay Packers. You can check it out. Read more over at ESPN.com if you so choose. Seems like Bulaga is generally disinterested in it after dismissing both trades. So, your choice whether you want to go check out more on that or not. 844-770-3776, the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line. List is more. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Homer, Stephen the Homer True, host of the Homer Hour, weekdays 5 to 6 on ESPN Wisconsin. He is coming up next in a twist. Usually Homer has Brian on his show a couple of times a week. Now Brian, filling in as the cousin sub of the day for Tausch, is going to have Homer on this show. So we'll talk with Homer coming up next. Jason continues his time at Lambeau Field at Packers assistant coach media availability. He'll report back on what he learned coming up in a little bit. Homer is scheduled to appear next on Wilde and Tausch after we hear from Tausch telling us about the ice-cold Blue Mountains of Coors Light. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. Whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, celebrating a big win after the game, or you just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold activated bottles and cans turn blue when chilled to perfection, which, besides the refreshing taste, is my favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold at only 102 calories, Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Continues. Jesse Nelson, Brian Bulaga. Bulaga's in as the cousin sub of the day for Tausch as his summer sabbatical continues. I am helping cover for Jason Wilde for the time being as Jason attends the assistant coach media availability going on at Lambeau Field. Rich Bisaccia wrapping up. Adam Stenovich is up next. Then Jeff Hafley to follow. And then Jason will return and share everything that he learns. And hopefully they all get after him in one way or another. In the meantime, you know what that music means. It is time for us to be joined by Homer, host of the Homer Hour, weekdays 5 to 6 on ESPN Wisconsin. Homer, how you doing?
Good. Nice to be on the Brian Bulaga Hour with Homer. I like that's okay. I can handle that.
It's a twist, right? Normally, Brian's joining your show in the afternoon, so now Brian gets to interview you. So, Brian Bulaga, the floor is yours. What do you want to learn from our friend Homer?
I got so much to learn from Homer. Only two times a week. I can't even absorb all the knowledge. So like this extra time for me is just phenomenal. So this is like a gift. This is a gift for me.
I didn't know you would go to house on me like this, but good.
I'm not. I'm being honest. Like your, okay. I love your takes. Because it gives us something to talk about tomorrow.
Your takes are so accurate, but I will take. I enjoy your takes. I try to be accurate because I was going to ask you. I don't know. Did you ever follow anything all these coaches said? Did you ever even listen to it to give us some observation as to whether or not it's of any value to us? Because I always envision the players going, "Oh yeah, that's crap. That's." You know, they don't ever tell them the truth, or they do tell them the truth, or maybe it was just never even high enough to give any attention at all. So you don't even know what the coaches are saying because all you care is what they're saying when they talk to you. What's the truth?
Yeah, I mean, the truth of it is that you normally pay attention to at times. I guess if you're someone that watches all the pressers, I really wasn't. But if there's normally a quotable thing from the head coach, you normally will pay attention to it because there's a chance that he'll probably repeat something similar back to the team at some point, and it's a message that he wants to get across. And whether he does it through, you know, media or and he's going to repeat it back to you guys. So I normally pay attention to
that. They use the media to tell things that they don't tell you?
No, they'll repeat it back to us, but it's kind of a precursor to get ready for what's coming.
It might be said first to the public or media before you. Wow.
Well, especially on like a day off like this. Like they got a day off today. They're meeting, you know, they get the coordinators today and things like that. And I don't know if LaFleur speaks to
that
or not.
The coach, I don't know if you would. I would never, ever say anything to the media or the public before I say it to the players. But that's maybe just doesn't understand reality.
Right? I would think like if he says it to you and then you hear it at the press conference, that's like, oh, he's really serious about that one. I wouldn't think you would.
I don't know. It would be to me as a coach, make it easy for the players because they know they don't have to listen to any of that stuff because. They've already heard anything that I say there. I've already told to them, but I'm clearly wrong. So I don't.
Well, like a perfect example would be like today. I'm sure Steno will get asked about the left tackle competition and his take on that. And obviously, maybe there's no discussion between you know the guys and Steno about how the left tackle competition's going and. You know, that gets out, right? Like, guys will see what Steno is saying about that left tackle competition and how that's going, and guys will see that, right? Like, that's just stuff that isn't being talked about between players and coaches, but he's being asked about that in the media and he's speaking on it, and guys see that. So it's just, it's small things like that that guys do pick up, that they do see. And as we kind of saw, obviously LaFleur probably said it beforehand about, you know, he was talking, you know, in the team meeting, and then Jason said, you know, prior to camp starting, like kind of reiterating a message about, you know, expectations for the team and things like that. He kind of echoed it to the guys in the media. There's times that, you know, you'll speak to the media prior to potentially, like on a day off prior to the team, and the message gets across one way or another, and then guys will hear that and they'll understand that, like, coach is trying to get a point across, like message is sent loud and clear. And I would imagine there'll be a lot of questions today, which I want to ask you about, Homer. A lot of questions today to the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, about what's being talked about now, about the physicality nature of practice. And I don't even like to say physicality of practice, because that's football, right? Football is supposed to be physical. That's the nature of it. But it's crossing the line of physicality of football and protecting teammates, right? Like, and I think that's kind of where we're at in Packers training camp right now, because now the GM's speaking on it, right? The head coach has spoken about it. And now we're probably going to hear the coordinators speak on it, because a lot's going to get asked about both coordinators, because they obviously speak to their guys daily, right? Like they're in these offense, defensive meetings daily. What do you see, I guess, from offense, defense, and training camps? And you've obviously covered these things a lot. Like, there's a line that you just can't cross protecting your own teammates, right? You can't be ripping ribs out of receivers and going low on backs. I mean, there's got to be a line, correct? Or am I just the only one on that based on my experience?
This is amazing. You're asking me, a former player is asking me. Right now, people are thinking, what is wrong with Bulaga? Like, why would he? It would be like Albert Einstein asking Homer. So, what do you think about this? What do you think about this equation? Like, you lived it.
I've made my point. I've already made my point. I want to see if you think I'm crazy.
Well, I would tell people, first of all, listen to Brian Bulaga's point. All right. Second of all, coaches don't change. Coaches are what coaches are. LaFleur likes a certain practice. He likes it done a certain way. What's the guy's name? Hobbs? Nobbs? What's his name?
Nate Hobbs.
Hobbs.
Yeah, he's nuts. He's nuts. He's got a serious problem. And my problem is, his problem is, I don't know how you can do what he did. Part of being a player is understanding, and like, he's like, oh, that's the way I did it or whatever. His behavior is not acceptable, and maybe that's why he was available, and it's possible. You talk about this before. They're never going to tell you the truth. They're going to cover it up if they have to. Now, maybe they don't have to. But this is not about the team. This is about one guy. And also, the whole thing about Rashid forces, there is no competition at left tackle. LaFleur would not have addressed this the way he did unless that's his guy. So this discussion of left tackle is done and over with, and I don't care what they say. Their actions tell you this. But other than that, we're just discussing one crazy player, and how could he do something so stupid? And he can say it's the way you – in this, I defer to you. You played with certain people, and maybe they didn't know him, or you get him in, you'd say, look, we don't want any of that knucklehead stuff that you did, or whatever. I don't know that there's any defense for what he did other than that it was just wrong, and that's not reflective of anything else about the team. And then I would emphasize, he's a new guy. So you then now are required – as a former player, to comment on every crazy comment of Homer and give them any legitimacy, or Homer, that's probably the worst one you've ever come with. Because if you don't, Brian, it's going to affect your reputation,
yeah,
not mine.
Diminishing significantly.
Yes. I mean, listen, and it's an odd issue, because like even in my time, I don't remember a DB going low on one of our backs. Listen, bang-bang plays happen in camp. They happen in games. Like, I understand all that. But, like, I just don't ever remember something like that happening. Like, and
why did it never happen, sir? I ask you, why do you think it never happened?
All
the players were smart enough to know you don't do that.
Yeah,
right?
that was certainly one of them. And like you look at the guys that, I mean, again, I always go back to the guys that I was fortunate enough to be on teams with when I came in as a rookie and I got to learn from. Like, you were in, I mean, like, I'll just start because we're talking about defensive backs, like Nick Collins, Charles Woodson, Tremont Williams, like Al Harris. Like, these are the guys that, like, were practicing, right? Like, they were like the most professional of professional type dudes. Like, they understood, like, physicality. They understood aggression. They understood all those things. But at the same time, like, they weren't going low on Greg Jennings.
Right.
They weren't going to go low on...
If I was general manager, depending on if I knew what happened, I'd cut him the next day. He's done. I don't care what draft choice I give him. That guy's not on my team. It would have, I believe this is what I would ask you. It would have been appropriate for a general manager to cut him the next day.
Well, that wasn't going to happen after they just paid him X amount of money as a free agent. It wasn't going to happen.
But there's a point at which you go too far, and how can you trust a player who's capable of doing that? But you're right. I mean, I that would have been controversial, but you spoke to how rare it is. And again, I don't know the particulars, but just for them to say he hit low, you were in the league for how many years?
12, and it just doesn't happen.
And you never saw it. You never saw it, correct?
Yeah, because it would be an all out brawl.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, that's just what it would be. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and here's the thing. And this goes back to, and you said it, LaFleur, like, likes a certain practice. It's not that I think people are getting on him about it because, you know, he's not a tough coach. Like, because imagine if that was Jacobs that got that he went low on. Right. What would be the reaction then from everyone else that loves the Green Bay Packers?
Right.
It would be a different tune, I would imagine, right?
No, a certain percentage would be saying just what I'm saying. He's done. You can't have that guy on the team.
Yeah.
There's a certain thing that you could do that's just too much. Again, it's going to be based on how much you paid or what you gave up for him, stuff like that. But that aside, we don't know.
Do
you'd have to ask him. We'd have to ask him if he would have said or done it to Jacob. And I don't know how you could say probably not, but I can't know for sure.
exactly. You don't know for sure. Yeah, you don't know for sure. And like, and LaFleur, I think to me, he's just trying to prevent these things from happening later on in camp. Like, so people could say, oh, he's being, you know, he's trying to, you know, be, you know, make this team not as tough. No, that has nothing to do with it. That has absolutely nothing to do with it.
Right.
Being tough is a mentality, right? Like, I think we start to mix signals of showing toughness as like big hits and like all these things. Like those are like that should be like standard practice in the NFL. Like you know when it's time to go out there and do that. Like being tough and being that type of football player, that stuff's a mentality, man. Like you either have that switch in your brain. You go out there and you do that, and that's how you perform. That's how you play. You play with that edge, or you don't. Like, you can't train that. Like, that's not like a thing. Hey, guys, today's a toughness practice. We're going to be tough today. Like, that's not a thing you go out there and do. And you can't go out there and camp and say, we're going to be a tough team this year. We're going to train to be tough.
Yeah, and maybe I'm unfair to LaFleur, and I just said he plays smart. That's much because – The toughness, now it's harder because the GM doesn't hire the coach, but the nature of the team can also, and I would ask you this as a question, is that more reflective of the general manager and the kind of players they bring in and where they evaluate things rather than the coach?
Well, I think Goody, from where he started with the team, obviously the team that he took over, what was that, in 18?
Right.
And what he started to build, I mean, the team he he took over in 18. We remember that team. And then obviously in 19 when LaFleur got brought in. And, I mean, you could say what you want. I remember that. I was on that team. That team in 19, I mean, that was a tough team. I mean, like, that was a group of guys. It was a tough team. It was, I mean, offensively, it was a very talented team. Yeah, I mean, you could say what you want about, you know, did you run the ball enough? Did you do that? I mean, regardless of the fact, like, you look at the guys that we had, it was a tough outfit. Like, and you look at the guys they brought in, you bring in guys like Za'Darius, you bring in Amos. Like, those are tough football players. Like, you could say whatever you want. Like, they're tough dudes. Like, they just
Brian, you don't have to explain. When you say it, that is. So if anybody else wants to take another position, they're an idiot because you played with this team. So, I mean, you – yeah.
Yeah. No, so now you're looking at what he's done in free agency lately, and he's bringing in guys like McKinney. I think everyone agrees that's a football player, right? Like, that is a football player.
Great addition.
He brings in –
Jacobs, great addition.
Yes, he brings in a guy like Banks. We're going to see, right? Like, that one's going to be the left guard. We're going to see.
Yeah, but what he did in the previous two, I mean, everybody should be confident that he'll be what Goody thought he would be. I mean, I'll be surprised if not.
100%. So, like, you're seeing him, his free agent track record of bringing in guys that he wants to be a certain mentality, I think is pretty good. Like, I really do. I think he's done well of bringing in free agents that he wants to have that certain mindset. So you never know what you're going to get through the draft process, right? Like, I mean, you're drafting guys coming out of college programs now. Like, you can evaluate them and grind over their personality traits and go over this and that and this. And like, it's not until you get them in your locker room and you try to get them in your culture that you're going to find out. And then you get some guys that, you know, rise to the top. Like, you get your Zach Toms and you get your Tucker Crafts, and those are the perfect, like, those are exactly what you want. Like, these are the type of guys that we want. We reward them financially. These are the tough individuals that we thought they were, and perfect, bang. And then sometimes you just guys end up not being the type of guys that you want, but you know what? They're there, and you have to try to get them to buy in as best you can and until you have to move on. And that's the way things go in the NFL.
I mean, I think we would agree. This is it. All right. He's not going to get a second incredibly unique situation again. I don't care how tough he plays, right?
No, he can't do that again.
If he says anything, if he does anything, and we have you on, and you go, I never saw that. He's done.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you just can't do that. And, like, listen, go put the pads on in a joint practice. Go fly around, bud. Have fun. Go do it. Enjoy yourself. I don't, you know, whatever. Well, do not care. Like,
yes,
you know.
And I don't know what he could do that you would say, I'd never see that again either. I hope we don't have to ask you that question, but
I hope not either. And, like, listen,
he may have brought him in. They needed a cornerback. He may have wanted a toughness. He may have wanted whatever. He didn't want that.
No, so that's not what you're looking for. And, like, the thing is, I do like that Hobbs flies around like that. And the guy, and listen, sometimes you need guys that have, you know, they play with a certain type of
person? Who was Wayne Simmons? Was the person I know when they won the championship before? Who would you say was that person on your Super Bowl team defensively? Maybe it was an offensive person too. I mean, we always usually think defense.
Oh, that was that
Collins
that kind of played with that. Like, Collins was like that. Nick played like that all the time. Like, Nick in practice didn't do that, but when Nick stepped on between those lines, man, Nick was
right.
Fearless.
Well, that's all anybody cares Nick about. Was, you guys care about. I don't care about practice. Yes, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, when you were playing, this was the guy, you know, that would, I don't know, just where you'd say that. I mean, who was the toughest or the meanest, or would challenge it? They're just Yeah, Collins may have been it. I don't know. Yeah. Because as great as Woodson was, I've never heard that said about him. Not in a negative way, but just because that's not what people bring up first when they talk about Woodson.
Yeah, Wood was just so smart. He knew where to be all the time. He was never out of position. He was physical, right? I mean, the guy caused so many fumbles and everything like that.
But this is all about what you mentioned first about someone. Like, I wonder what they mentioned first about you. I'll have to ask him. What's the first thing about Blog? Here's what I would say. He never made a mistake. Like, of all the people just don't realize how intense he was about just having all the information and knowing and being able to know exactly what was going to happen and to address that. Like, his football smartness on the field is the first thing they would say about Brian Bulaga. But I could be wrong because I'm not them. But I don't know who I'll have to ask.
Yeah, who should we ask, Blue?
Now, that's not fair.
I have no idea.
Well, it's fair with him because he doesn't care enough to cheat. So, like, no, ask anybody. That's what he'd say, but he didn't want to be mean.
I mean, that's part of trying to do your job properly is to make sure that you're trying to.
Oh, I know who I'm asking. You know who we're asking? We're asking Clay Matthews. Because Clay Matthews has the experience of going against him when Bulaga was a rookie. So he has.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
get that on Wilson's show.
Yeah.
When they have Blog on. I don't have enough time with 46 minutes.
Well, I will say this has been a fun glimpse into what the Homer Hour with Brian Bulaga sounds like for those of us who don't catch it on a regular basis. This has been fun. A nice little teaser for what you guys
nicely
do
done.
Twice a week here throughout the week.
Happy to fill in for Jason. Take it from here.
Homer,
always a treat.
Wait, Homer, before you go. Anything you want to say about the Milwaukee Brewers going for a sweep of the Cubs this afternoon?
The game to remember is the first game. They're down 3-0, and they outscore the Cubs 8-1 and just whoop them. That, I mean, I'll defer to Brian on this, where you're playing a good team, the Cubs are very good, and the ability when you just have a horrible start, sometimes when you have a horrible start, you just can't win. It's too hard against that team. To come back the way they did, it's like John Anderson said something like, hey, you get a group of hungry bees, they can take down a bear. And I thought, that's this Brewers team. I didn't think I said it perfectly, but like they have a confidence that is greater than maybe what it should be for the talent. But as a group, they're just never worried. Is that the right way to put it, Brian? I don't know. You know, to come back on the road, or not on the road, but against the team, you just think, well, maybe it's not our day. No, we just don't think that way. We're coming at them again, and let's see if this group of angry bees can whoop the bear. What do you think?
Yeah, they have a confidence about them right now that's incredible. Like, and you know what's funny, Homer? I remember when this season first started, you and I were on air, and they were giving up runs for fun, and they were getting blown out. Remember? I remember you said, like,
horrible,
this could be the worst
game, the
start of
games.
A team.
Yep. Yes.
And now here we are. And like this team.
Right, which needs to be known. And I'm glad you brought it up because that people need to realize how amazing that is. It doesn't happen. Like if they go on to achieve something, they'll go back and say, I guarantee you, the first team to ever do that, given what happened the first four games or something like that, even with 162.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for that. That's another. We'll add that to the list.
There it is.
See, you know, this is the hard part. Bulaga can't respond because he was never a bunch of hungry bees against the bear.
Yeah.
They were the bear.
Well,
that's true. It's very true.
Maybe it was the Giants. The Giants were too good that year. That's not fair to them.
Yeah.
They would be offended by being a bunch of hungry bees. But
but
yes, that sadly was when the bear went down. All right. Yep. We can't leave on that note. So, we have to have the Brewers are it. So would it be nice if they swept? Yes, because Brian would I can add to this. I'm sure there are a lot of games, but when you give yourself a 3-game lead, then you have a little cushion. Cushions are nice because now you're not as likely to be in that situation. Well, I know it's early, but they have to win this one. There's nothing better than having the cushion, and that's what they would have if they can sweep because they got Five more in Chicago?
Yeah, five in Chicago starting August 18th. Five games in 4 days. Those are the last remaining games against the Cubs
right,
after
today. You
don't
want to have to go in there in Chicago and say, well, we have to win four. They're going to likely be in a position of things they would like to happen, but it isn't mandatory. So take it away, Brian. Is any of that good? Was any of that good? Was any of that true? I need approval.
No, that's perfect. You want to have his biggest cushion against the guys in your division or conference, whatever they call it now in baseball. I don't know what they call it. I'll put it this way. Anything to beat the Cubs, I am all for. So anything that is anti-Cub, I am all for. So beat them 10 to nothing today. Really, you know, stomp out all their hopes and dreams. Anything against the Cubs, I'm all for.
That we can leave on.
Yeah, the Brian Bulaga Hour with Homer. All right, bye.
Bye, Homer. Thanks for joining. Homer, weekdays 5 to 6 on ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Beaver Dam. You can also stream it on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Brian Bulaga joins Homer twice a week as part of the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin. Jason's wrapping up at assistant coach media availability in Green Bay. We'll stall one more segment until he comes back, and then the rest of the show will be him elaborating on what Rich Bisaccia and Jeff Hafley and Adam Stenovich all had to say. So we are going to play Wilde and Tausch Trivia. Coming up next on a Wisconsin Geography Wednesday, 844-770-3776 is the phone number to get in for Wilde and Tausch Trivia, 844-770-3776. The Milwaukee Brewers have won 15 of their last 18 games. Caller 15 at 844-770-3776, Wisconsin Geography Wednesday. Today's trivia category, we will play your chance to win a Vortex swag bag, and then Jason Wilde returns from assistant coach media availability. That is all coming up next on Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. Because I'm a hazard to my...
The Jesse and Bulaga Hour coming to a close here pretty soon on Wilde and Tausch. Jason Wilde wrapping up with Jeff Hafley, Packers defensive coordinator, the final of the three assistant coaches meeting with the media this morning up in Green Bay. Jason will give a full report coming back here in just a couple of minutes after we play Wilde and Tausch Trivia, which is presented by Vortex Golf.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
And Brian, on a Wisconsin Geography Wednesday, which Tausch is always thrilled about, I know you enjoy it as well. Jason is jealous, I'm sure, when he finds out that we have a first-time contestant. Zach in Sheboygan, welcome to Wilde and Tausch Trivia, presented by Vortex Golf. Sorry we don't have Jason or Tausch to play for your first time, but I hope you're going to have fun nonetheless.
Oh, absolutely. You guys are just as good, if not better.
No. Thank you.
And I know that's not true about me. Bulaga, you could make an argument. I know that no one believes that about me stepping in here for the time being as the substitute teacher while Jason's away. But regardless, Zach, I better that than being mean to me like they are in the YouTube comments. I'll say that. Let's play Wisconsin Geography Wednesday on Wilde and Tausch Trivia presented by Vortex Golf. I have question number one for you, Zach. People from around the world flew into Wisconsin for the annual EAA Air Venture Festival last week in Oshkosh. If fans flying in from around the world couldn't land at Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh, which of these cities' airports would be the next best option located closest to Oshkosh? Your options are Fond du Lac, Baraboo, or Des Plaines.
I'm going to go Fond du Lac. Final answer.
And he's on the board. Question number one, it is correct. Des Plaines, I thought that was pretty good. I do say so myself.
It was good.
Appreciated the chuckle. Yeah. Brian Bulaga, you have question number two for Zach in Sheboygan.
All right. Latitudinally, which of these Wisconsin counties is located farthest south? Is it Clark County, Jackson County, or Iowa County?
Oh, I mean, just because they're blue, I'm going to go Iowa County.
Wow.
I wasn't going to have Brian Bulaga ask a question with Iowa in it and not be the correct answer. Well, way to see through it. Way to see through it, Zach. Did you catch the theme, though? We had Clark County, like Caitlin Clark, Jackson County, like my guy Josh Jackson from Iowa, and then Iowa County itself. How about that? Yeah, well, beyond the game. Thought that was pretty, that was pretty clever.
You're dialed.
I pat myself on the back. Chance for a perfect day in your debut. Zach, here is question number three. Danny Jansen, a backup catcher the Brewers acquired in a trade earlier this week, was born and raised in Wisconsin and played high school baseball at which of these schools in the Fox Valley? Did he play his high school baseball at Kimberly, Appleton West, or Nina?
Appleton West. Final answer. Yes.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Yep.
And in this case, Zach, you were both. Lucky on the last one, good on the others.
I'll take it. That's awesome. Thank you, guys.
There you go, Zach. 3 for 3 of all four entries and a chance to win the Vortex swag bag, which we will draw for. Either Jim, Matt, and Molly will do so on Friday, or we will take care of that drawing when we're all back together next Monday. Regardless, congratulations, Zach. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for a great performance as a first-time contestant in Wildy and Tausch Trivia.
Thank you, guys. Love you guys. Love you guys a lot.
Love you guys.
And he got the love you guys at the end. You know that's a real one when he's able to get that in.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to our friend Farvey. Thanks to Zach in Sheboygan. Thanks to Vortex Golf. That's Wildy and Tausch Trivia. Jason Wildy wrapping up at the assistant coach media availability. I think they're all done. So we will hear from Jason, his takeaways from Adam Stenovich, Jeff Hafley, Rich Bisaccia, meeting with the media, and on Brian Bulaga's reactions to that commentary. Did all of his questions get answered? All the burning questions that Brian Bulaga wanted answers to today. We'll find out coming up next. Jason returns to the show. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app, customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
I'm told there's still another segment left in the 10 o'clock hour. I will have to go back on YouTube or the ESPN Wisconsin app or Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, etc. to find out what the hell was going on out there while I was down at the press conference availability with the three coordinators. Some interesting stuff that came out of it, actually from all three of them. I want to start with one quickie and then we'll more during the 11 o'clock hour. But since we've got one of the best offensive linemen in Packers history here, where else am I going to start but the offensive line? Now, I say that about Brian Bulaga, but Brian Bulaga will tell you that Brian Bulaga, the guard, sucked. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very bad.
Now, if you had, let's just say, for the sake of argument, that Tausch is invincible. He's like Bruce Willis in that Unbreakable movie. And he plays like 17 years in the league. And Cliffy, the big Lamborghini, continues to manage, because he didn't, right, in 2011. But he continues to manage to play on Sundays with limited practice. and you're in Jordan Morgan's spot. Neither of the tackles are ceding an opportunity to you. If you'd have worked at it, could you have been a good guard, you think?
I might have been okay at it. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, if I would have got to work and work and work at it, I might have been an average guard. Because I got to play next to two really, really good ones, and I know what really, really good looks like. And I just didn't have that skill set, right? Like what they did so good and what made them really good. Like, I didn't have that same, like, skill set. And, like, I could have worked on it, but, like, the way I moved and what I did well didn't translate to, like, that position, right? Like, it just wasn't the same. It didn't work the same as what I did really well on the outside. And like, as much as you try to fit that, you know, what's the old saying, like the round, you know,
square peg in a round hole.
It wouldn't have worked. And I mean, would I have been serviceable after working at it for like a couple of years? Yeah, I probably would have been serviceable. But I probably would not have been as successful as I would have been, you know, playing tackle. And like, that's just the way I would have seen it. I would have done everything I could to make it work, but it wouldn't have probably turned out the way it did for me, you know, playing tackle.
So I want to get into this on the other side with what Bisaccia said and with what Jeff Hafley talked about, because there was some really interesting stuff to that. But look, basically with Aaron Banks dealing with his back issue, so he's been kind of in and out of the lineup at left guard, and Elton with his non-football injury list time. Now, he did – Elton was the starting center with the ones yesterday, in pads, in 11-on-11, after coming off the NFI list 24 hours earlier. So he was hit the ground running. But with while both of those guys were kind of on the sideline, you know, it meant that Jordan Morgan was playing guard more than he was playing tackle. Well, Steno did say that now, you know, the competition is on, basically. And he is going to compete now, not just at left tackle, but at right guard. He was also asked about, you know, Sean Ryan, and if he's kind of, I don't want to say sealed up that job, because that's not how the question was asked, but he made it very clear that Sean Ryan is still competing, which is on brand, because they have been trying to give away Sean Ryan's job since he got here. So Sean Ryan and Sheed versus Jordan Morgan. What I want from you before we go to the 11 o'clock hour, if you have to predict where Jordan Morgan will be on September 7th, will he be the left tackle, the right guard, or the sixth man? I'm going sixth man.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I think it'll be the sixth man. Like, unless it's some unforeseeable, like, he goes the left tackle now, and like, but I think Sheed, again, is probably having the camp that we expected him to have, most likely, right? Like, I think that's probably what's happening. Jordan Morgan, again, I don't know how he's performing in camp, because he's been moved around a bunch, right? Like, I think that's been the consensus, that he's been position hopping, which is unfortunate for him, right? Like, he's supposed to be going into a competition battle of left tackle, and he's been playing both guard spots and left tackle, but now he's going to get to focus a little bit more there, and I guess at right guard too, which doesn't help his cause. But I don't see Sheed getting ousted there, and I don't think Sean Ryan's going to give much ground, man. I don't see it happening. I think those two guys, as we've said over the last few years, have been battle tested in this position battle thing, right? Like, they've been going through this now for the last few years, and this is very, they're comfortable in the uncomfortable situation of this camp battle, right? Like, they've been doing this, and they understand mentally what they need to do. Right? Like, they get it. They understand every little thing is being looked at. Every little thing is being graded. and they know the expectation of it. And when you're the person trying to take away that job, you have to be like extraordinary. Like you have to like prove that I can be like this person, but even better, and I can be more reliable. And you have to prove a lot more. And I'm not sure the reps are there, and like the time is there to show that, right? Like it's hard to do in camp the way camp is set up these days to do that. Now that you're trying to do it in two different spots,
right?
Like it's not there. The time isn't there. The reps aren't there. And it's tough to do.
Well, we will see how it plays out. But yes, I thought it was really interesting that Steno flat out said that he's competing at both spots now, because during the offseason, it was very clearly it's him versus Sheed. And that has now shifted already. And we're a week into camp. All right, we need to get to the 11 o'clock hour. I want to get to something that Bisaccia said. And then I want to get into a couple of things that Jeff Hafley said. I thought it was really, really interesting. What we talked about in terms of year two and about their goal of leading the NFL in takeaways and needing to get more forced fumbles. We'll get into all that during the 11 o'clock hour, and that will start in 2 minutes. So stick around with Brian Bulaga as our cousin sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.